Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships.
Hello everybody, welcome to episode 55 of From Long Distance to Marriage. Do we have any admin updates?
I think I need to say that the guide is out now. Officially, if you visit our website at longdistancetomarriage.com and visit the resources page, you can get your hands on the guide for a mere £10. Thank you to everyone who's already bought it. We've had some really nice feedback on it. So go and get your copy before Christmas.
Yeah, so it's now not pre-order, it's order.
It's there. You can get it immediately.
So like we said, you know, we've a lot of thought and a lot of time in that, so we really hope that people find it helpful and add value to your relationship and make things a bit easier for you, really. Other than that, I think nothing left to say but to dive right in to this week's topic. So this was a request from a listener who said that she and her partner, I think it was a she, they were struggling with they want some advice on what to do when you seem to have different expectations of how often you should be talking and communicating in a long distance relationship. And I think that jumped out at me as a really important topic, because that is something a lot of people struggle with. I mean, we hear from so many people, and it's quite sad, because I know how difficult it can be, but people saying, oh, you know, I haven't heard from them, or they'll disappear for a few days and come back. And I think that's, you know, we covered a lot of that in our ghosting episode.
But then on the other side to that, there are people who spend... I've seen screenshots from people who've had an open conversation for days. You know, I mean, the call's connected while both of them are sleeping. And it's just... I don't know if they're actually talking for days, but that Discord server, whatever it may be, is open, or that FaceTime call's open for days on end. And... that's obviously a high level of commitment that is great if you two are able to agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if one of you is not able to do that, I mean, we couldn't have done that.
No.
Then you need to be careful in reacting to someone saying, oh, I can't spend 4 days talking to you. You know, because that's probably not unreasonable for them to say that. And so it goes both ways. Yeah, you've got the one extreme of the ghosting and them not talking to you, not even acknowledging you for days, maybe weeks on end. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you've got people who are spending huge amounts of time talking.
Yeah. And I think it's just... it's kind of a classic example of where one of the most important aspects of a relationship comes into play, and that's compromise. If necessary. I mean, it might be that one person, you know, just doesn't realize how much the other person wants to talk, or how, you know, whatever. Maybe there's not actually a problem there, but you just need to talk about it and say, hey, you know, we're only talking once a week, for example. I'd really like it if we could, you know, be on the like actual phone voice conversations 3 times a week. Is that doable? Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, I can do that. I mean, that might be the case. Might be just as simple as broaching the topic. And I think it always astounds me talking to other couples, not even necessarily from, you know, the podcast and that platform, how we talk to couples, but just friends, how much people actually struggle to communicate with each other what they need, and they get frustrated and they get cynical and then they get spiteful. And sometimes it's just as simple as saying, hey, I need this from you right now. So I think that's always the first step. I don't know, maybe the person that requested this episode's already done that. Maybe they feel like they're beating a dead horse, but sorry, flogging a dead horse. But yeah, I think if it is the fact that two people just have very different expectations of how much time they should be spending communicating in a long distance relationship, you need to address that, because it's hard to make it work, and you need to be in some ways as much on the same page as possible.
There's a lot to unpack with this though, because I'm going to say, I think most people are just going to be in that situation of, we're on different time zones, or even if you're not on different time zones, potential factors are going to be, we're on different time zones, we've got work/school/study, whatever you may do. I've got family equipment.
Family equipment?
Commitment.
Oh.
And the conversation you're having is, how much time can we make for each other around those commitments? I think that's going to be the topic for most people.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've already covered ghosting, but I suppose just to recap on that, there's a conversation to be had with each other just to say, you know, we don't need to spend 24/7 talking, but if you're going to be disappearing for days, just let me know so I'm not worried about it. Yeah. That's the minimum conversation.
It's just common human decency.
But then on the other end of it, when you've got the relationships where it is constant and, you know, you're racking up hours and hours and hours every single day on the phone, maybe more than hours a day, you know, maybe 20 hours a day. I think the worry for me there is, are you actually entering the field of dependency? You know, because well, it's a bit of a quirk of long distance, because you couldn't have that in real life unless you're actually able to be physically with that person all day, as in you either work or go to school in the same place, or you don't go to a job or school. You know, and unless that's the situation, you're going to be separate. We don't spend all day together and we live together. So it's kind of a quirk of long distance and technology that you can have this permanently open phone call. But so if it's a dependency thing like that, oh, I need to talk to them, they need to be there for me, you know, it's open when we watch each other sleep and things like that. The problem with that, as much as it's unhealthy to have a dependency anyway, the other problem with that is if and when you do close the distance, it's going to be a real shock that they're suddenly away from you for periods of time.
I think, though, do you not think, I want to challenge that a little bit, not that it's right, but that it's difficult in the sense that, do you not think the nature of a long-distance relationship can really easily force people to be dependent? Because you I kind of think in some cases it might, because maybe not force, but it just sets it up more because, you know, yeah, like you said, you don't actually get to see each other. And when you're together, you have that reassurance of just physical contact and being near each other. You know you can see each other whenever you want. And when those things aren't available to you, you can get quite caught up in feeling like, oh, I need them, you know.
Yeah, no, you can. So I suppose, but that you can doesn't mean you should.
No, but sometimes you can't help.
No, I think you can help it. You can at least recognize the problem and say, okay, actually, I need to get a hobby. I need to spend time with my friends. I'm going to go and watch a movie with my family, or you know, because you can't just say, oh, I'm getting dependent on them. That's okay. It's long distance.
Yeah, I agree. But at the same time, like, look at me as an example. I did those things. I had a job. I had family. I did stuff with friends, and I still would have moments where I was completely panicked and freaking out. Yeah, and stuff.
Yeah, you had moments, you had anxiety. I think that's different.
I don't know, I mean,
We never had a 20-hour phone call.
Oh, no, we never did stuff like that, but if I didn't hear from you in the normal amount of time that I normally did, I would
freaking out and stuff. I think we can separate that. I think, yeah, if you listen to this and you get a bit nervous that you've not heard from them in a little while, that's okay. I'm talking about dependency in the sense of they need to be there constantly, all the time, yeah. Otherwise okay. I can't function. That's what I mean by dependency. Not just, I miss them and I want them around and I'm a little bit worried. And yeah, like you said, you're missing the physical touch and contact, so of course you're going to be a little bit more
needy, kind of, yeah. Not in a mean way.
And I think it's important to have a distinction between all of that and dependency on someone, especially when it's dependency on someone that potentially you've not met, because the thing with long distance is that it allows you to create a virtual relationship. So you, Jimmy, it's kind of weird. If you're, and this is a minority of people, I accept that, but you know, there have always been people who struggle with real world relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're too introverted, they lack confidence, whatever. They struggle to do that in real life. So now with the internet and technology, there is now the ability to have a virtual relationship with a real person. And we kind of see this, you know, if ever you watch episodes of Catfish, and obviously the sting in the tail there is that the person isn't who they said they were, but they end up having a relationship with someone. A, that person may not exist. There's a person at the other end of the phone, but it's not who they portray themselves to be. But also you can just have a relationship with someone that you like the idea of, you're in a relationship with your idea of a person who you may not have any intention of meeting. So it's a very, but then at the same time, in a long distance relationship, you have people like us and most people in long distance relationships, whereas two genuine people who want to meet do meet, and they have to make manage this relationship from afar. So you can't put them all under one umbrella.
Yeah,
they're under the one umbrella of long distance relationships, but they're not all the same. And I don't mean to imply that if you're in a long distance relationship, this is what you're dealing with. I'm really talking about a subset of people within that. And if they happen to be listening to this, if you're in that dependency category of it, that I think is a very specific problem.
Yeah, yeah, it is. But I think there's also just the more, I mean, I don't know the details of this person's kind of request, just can you do, you know, can you talk about when you have different expectations? But what about when someone just doesn't feel the need to talk as much as you do? And, you know, you want to talk, whether that's every day, every other day or whatever, and they just, for whatever reason, you know, don't. I mean, how do you handle that?
I think that's something that you have to deal with in a non-distance relationship as well. You know, there are, it's sort of that marriage cliche on sitcoms, isn't it, of husband comes home, doesn't want to talk for a little while, has a drink, talked in an hour, you know. Or traditionally, certainly in this country, men used to go to the pub after work. That was the cliche. So he goes to the pub after work, he has a beer or two, then he comes home. The potential for the people in a partnership to be on different pages of how much to communicate, that's present in all relationships. I don't think that's unique to long distance. But the difficulty with it is, I suppose if you're living together, they still come home. They may be quiet, but you know they're there, you know they're safe, and if someone doesn't reply to you. And I know also that one of the big problems, the difficulty with distance communication is they're not always reliable, but WhatsApp and Facebook and stuff, they say, oh, they're active now, they're active 5 minutes ago. And you think, well, I sent that message an hour ago and you were active 5 minutes ago, so you're ignoring me. And, you know, so that's something that in a real world relationship where, you know, that's not as present, but when you're communicating through technology, that is. And you know, they're really unreliable, and especially Facebook, if you've got Messenger open on your computer and you're out with your phone, it'll say you're active because your computer's online, but you haven't checked your phone. So it's not as reliable, but it allows this kind of paranoia to grow, because you're sitting at home thinking, why have they not replied to me? Why have they not replied to me? And it's showing them online, it's showing them active recently. But you have to communicate it, don't you? This is how often I want to talk about. But then what do you think? I mean, because you can really easily make it feel forced.
I know, that's the thing. I mean, this is one of those kind of depressing moments when a relationship can feel like a business. Like, these are our operating hours. This is when we talk. These are the days we do it. Like,
But then, okay, is this... Do you think this is a moment when you, can it become clear through this that actually you're forcing something that isn't there?
Potentially. I mean, I think it depends on the situation. If you want to talk 3 times a week and they're like, nah, once a week's enough, I don't think that 3 times a week is unnecessary. If you want to talk 3 times a day and they're like, no, well, once a day is all I can manage, or that's more, you know, it depends.
What if they say, we haven't got enough to talk about 3 times a week?
Well, that's a concern.
But what would you do?
I'd probably freak out.
What if they're right? What if you have 3 phone calls a week and it's kind of a struggle, but when you have 1 call a week, you have a non-stop conversation for an hour or two, and it's a lot more fun.
I guess it's down to each couple to decide, but I mean, just like in a face-to-face relationship, we all have needs that need to be met. That's, you know, sexual, affectionate, just courteous things. You know, we all have needs, and communication when you're apart is the main need. And I think my question is, if someone doesn't want to communicate with you regularly, or obviously not multiple times a day if they can't or whatever, but what's the underlying issue there?
Well, that's a good point. I mean, maybe this comes back to when we had David on episode 47, if anyone hasn't heard it. Dovid made the point about you need your hierarchy of needs. He said, so you need to decide what's most important to you, the things you must have in a relationship, and then anything that's not on there are things that you can say, okay, I'm not gonna die on this hill. I'll let that one go. So if your hierarchy of needs includes daily or three times a week communication and your partner's not giving it to you, you need to think to yourself, well, that need's not being met. What
but
does
I'm
that mean?
Not really sure in a long distance relationship what other needs you can.
Yeah, but then not everyone is cut out for a long distance relationship. I don't mean that to be.
What do you mean?
I don't mean that to be you in this situation. I mean, if it's possible you found yourself a partner who's not cut out to be in a long distance relationship because they haven't got the patience or commitment to say, yep, I will make time to talk to you three times a week, once a day. Because some people are going to be happy with just send me a good morning text, we'll have a quick FaceTime in after work before bed. For some people, that's enough, and that's not a big time commitment. Unless you've got strange shifts or whatever, I'd imagine everyone could make time for that most of the time.
Time difference makes it hard, for sure.
Time difference makes it hard, and there may be times when, I can't do tonight, I'm travelling, I've got a funeral to go. You know, life gets in the way, but I think most people, most of the time, that feels like a kind of bare minimum level of communication. Other people are going to be saying, no, I want you to text me all day, and then you're the one being unreasonable because, hey, that they're in class, they're at work, you can't be constantly present, or you can't expect someone to be constantly present. But everyone is cut out for it, and it's possible you're with someone who just isn't prepared, and in that case, know your worth.
Yeah, and I think it is a moment where you both need to step back and be really mature and really honest and say, right, where's the unreasonable kind of factor coming in? Is it me? Is it you? Is it you? Is it whatever? And be willing to admit, you know, if you do need that person 24/7 to be available, that's not really realistic. I mean, I can't get hold of Rich 24/7. You know, we have jobs, we have friends, you know, we live in a time where we're all expected to be available so immediately because of, you know, smartphones and internet and social media. And, you know, not so long ago, that was not the case. I mean, when we were talking, we could only talk when we were at home in front of our laptops.
Mm.
And I think while, you know, kind of the evolution of technology to where we are today has made long distance a lot easier for a lot of people. In some ways, maybe it's made things, the expectations and stuff, harder. Because even if you are out with your friends and, you know, you say, hey, I'm not around tonight, you technically still have your phone. And if you're not answering it, then that puts certain expectation on you. Like, oh, I messaged you. Yeah, but you knew I was out with my friends. Well, you can still, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing. People deserve time. I mean, you shouldn't be. We always maintain this. You shouldn't be, I suppose you could be the centre of their world, but not everything should be around you.
You shouldn't be their entire world.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, you should be their entire world. So if they say, oh, I'm out with friends, yeah, fine, they've got their phone on them, but give them some space. Like, we will still text each other when we're out, but we're a bit more compromising of not hearing back. And,
yeah, slow to respond and stuff.
You know, yeah, so you can still expect a response, but the one thing we don't do, I'd say, is we don't really carry out a conversation. It might be one or two texts because we just want to check something, check in with each other, or
mean we're with different people when we're out, like, doing.
Yeah, so you may be like, oh, can you just tell me where this is in the house, or did you get there safely, or what time are you home? We'll have a question or two, but we won't expect each other to have a full conversation, because that's fucking rude as well. Like, if you're with other company,
mm-hmm,
and you're that person on your phone, really, you're just in all that company that you don't value them.
That's like, we all do that with family and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, family, I know it sounds terrible, but I suppose because you spend probably more time with them and stuff. But you're right, we all do it, and it is rude. And I think if they've said, I'm out with my friends today, you shouldn't be expecting them to be responding to a bunch of texts from you. I just think they should be allowed that time, and you should be given that time. And if you're not given that time, it's your behavioural problem, you know. So there is a lot to unpack in this topic.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard one. I think it's probably that this is a reason I really thought it was important, because it's one of the biggest ones. You know, we've talked about it
I kind of thought we should do an Instagram live of this at some point and just have different people talking about it.
Okay, I was talking.
Yeah, I know I interrupted you.
Can you not do that, please? Yeah. I think this
what
is...
What do you think?
I think you should let me finish my fucking thought. Okay. I think that this is probably, for many couples that are long distance, one of the ultimate challenges. And maybe not even the expectation behind it, but just a struggle behind talking enough or talking too much, or like you said, having enough to talk about. But I really think that it's about laying out what you genuinely need, and also doing that when taking into consideration what the other person can give. You know, like you kind of mentioned a couple minutes ago, weird shift work and stuff. If your partner, you know, works for 911 dispatch or whatever, 999 dispatch, depending where you live, you know, they're going to work weird hours, and, you know, they can't take their cell phones into jobs like that. So, you know, you can't be childish and stomp your foot because their livelihood or their schedule makes it impossible for you to get what you want. You know, you need to take a step back.
Well, on that, I mean, we're friends with people. They never did long distance. They live together, married. But the nature of their work, there's a full week where they're not seeing each other at all because he has his own business. So he gets home late, but he leaves late in the morning. So when he gets home, she's at work. And then when, I can't remember which one's which, but basically one of them leaves in the morning before the other one gets up.
Do I know this couple?
Yeah.
Can't think who you're talking about.
And because it's just the way her shifts have fallen. She's a nurse. So the way her shifts have fallen, that neither of them are home at the same time. So yeah, fine, there may be times when they can sort of text in that, but being a nurse, she's not going to be able to reply. And
we went to their wedding.
Yeah, we did, yeah. If she's not going to be able to just reply all the time.
Yeah.
So,
and he can't either with his job.
And he can't either with his job. So that's really unfortunate, and it's not all the time, but this isn't just, you know, I suppose if you're in a relationship where you're able to talk more often than that, then count your blessings, because there are relationships, and like I said, they're married, they live together, there's no distance, and yet there will occasionally be times when they physically aren't in the same at the same time for a week.
Yeah, I mean, my sister and her husband, you know, my sister works kind of more traditional hours, but he works shift work and weird days of the week. And so, I mean, there's been, like, at the moment with his schedule this year, they don't have a day off together. I mean, they'll see each other maybe in the evenings, but they don't have, like, a Saturday and Sunday together. They don't have a day where they're both off all day, get to spend the whole day together with the kids. I mean, there have been years where they might have one day off, but
oh, and this is the work of relationships, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's when you're, I'll say young, but when you're when you're long distance as well, I suppose, you know, and it's around text, you can kind of do that. But when you actually are in that relationship, close the distance, living together, and then life really can get in the way and pull you in all different directions. And but that's the reality of it, is they're not always easy. They're not always 9 to 5 and predictable. Yeah, that's kind of how you want it to be and hope it will be, but sometimes life just has its own ideas. So I would caution that if you kind of have this idea of this is what a relationship needs to look like and this is how often we need to talk, blah, 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 then I think maybe you need to recalibrate your perspective on it.
Yeah.
But that also doesn't mean that you're wrong for having certain needs. And if a need is I want to talk a few times a week, I think that's more than fair.
Yeah, I mean, I think that a bare minimum, like, even if you talk on the phone or you FaceTime a few times a week, I don't think one or two texts a day is, you know, unrealistic. Even if that's, hey, love you, hope you have a beautiful, beautiful day, you know, whatever, or miss you, thinking of you, can't wait to talk, like, I think most people can drop a line once a day. Like, it's not unrealistic to expect that. And I think you work out, especially if you're in different time zones, you work it out, you figure out these weird times, you know. We were fortunate in that you know, were freelance, so you could talk whenever you wanted when we were kind of apart. And I was teaching, and I had worked really early hours and stuff, so when I'd be getting up, it'd be the kind of late morning for you, so we'd at least email back and forth, you know, throughout the morning while I was getting ready. And sometimes you'd surprise me and call me. I mean, but you were kind of, you know, you were working, trying to get some stuff done. And then we'd usually either, like, webcam or Skype on the phone after work. And if not, we, you know, we'd email a lot. And I would kind of, during my planning period at work and my lunch break, I'd ping you back an email. You would have emailed me during the day. So you just, I'm saying is that you just, you find the rhythm of your schedule to try and make it work. And I know, you know, some listeners have very specific days when they're meant to talk, and if they don't hear from their partner, just to kind of confirm that, oh yeah, you know, we're going to talk this weekend, you can really throw them. And it's easy to do that if you are relying on just a couple conversations a week, to get you through it, to get you through the distance and the time. So I understand where the difficulty comes in here 100%. And I mean, I remember, and it's also hard if you set a precedent at the beginning that you're both talking a whole lot, and then, like you said, you don't have quite as much to talk about and you don't feel the need to talk as much. It can still be frightening. If you do something in a relationship and set that tone and then you stop doing it, it can be a shock to others. Like, I think someone told me that they knew someone who sent his wife or his girlfriend flowers every week at work, and he did it for years. And it got to the point where it was nice, but obviously it wasn't exciting to her anymore. So he stopped doing it. But then she's like, oh, wait, you're not doing this anymore. You know, so it all depends. So you just have to kind of talk about it.
Yeah, and I think the other shoulder topic to this is types of communication, because we're fortunate nowadays that we're able to send a text whenever we want, but it's not the same as a phone call. And a phone call, arguably, is not the same as FaceTime. And, I mean, FaceTime, the app, not actual time, face-to-face. Physical, but then equally, FaceTime and Skype aren't as good as being in person. So if one of you said, oh, well, we talk all the time, and you're saying, well, no, we text all the time, and we only talk on the phone once a week, you know, they are genuinely different.
Yeah,
and,
that's a good point.
So, again, communication there, but if one of you is happy to not talk on the phone more than the other one, I suppose the question is why? Why are they happy to not talk on the phone? And again, is this a personality red flag of them, you know, I don't know, not wanting to talk on the phone because you're not important enough to them, or because they haven't got the confidence to be on the phone, or they kind of feel weird, whatever, you know, we can't say either way, each person's different, but you'll know potential red flags. But, you know, so, yeah, I guess it's not just the communication, but it's the type. And are you both happy with how you communicate as well as how often you communicate?
And I think, especially younger people, you know, younger generations, I mean, text is, like, the main thing. Like, you know, we watch movies about millennials and teenagers now, and it's like, oh, you called me on the phone. How weird. I normally only text. Like, so, you know, if you are in that age bracket, or even, like, you know, we fall into it, you know, we don't talk on the phone very often. Usually the only time we talk on the phone is if one of us is driving and it's not safe to, to
text
and we use Bluetooth. So, just be mindful of that if your partner's saying, we don't talk enough, but you feel like you're texting a lot, then maybe introduce other forms of communication, you know, FaceTime, maybe. I mean, you probably are, but if you're not, if it's still your default just to text, look at other more enriching ways to communicate, and that is actually hearing each other's voice and seeing each other's faces and, you know, working out how you can make the most value of the way and how you talk. And if you feel, you know, you said earlier, maybe someone feels like you don't have anything to talk about, we put a blog up, I think last month, the month before, about fun things to ask each other. So maybe have, you know, some ideas of what you want to talk about.
Yeah, I think that's download. There's a 10 question list that you can download you get a PDF email to you, so you can take that with you. Yeah, that's true. If you go onto our website, longdistancetomarriage.com, and click on articles. So articles on the homepage. No, is it blog? Click on blog. I think it's blog. And it'll be the first one there.
Yeah, so basically just, you know, and I think maybe guys might be a bit more self-conscious of this, like, oh, I didn't have anything else to say, or, you know, girls, we can gab forever for the most part. But yeah, if a guy feels like he doesn't have much else to say, guys can get a bit self-conscious of that. And so, you know, if you, you know, again, it sounds maybe too rehearsed or too forced, but relationships take effort and research. I mean, I've looked up, you know, ways to talk about things, you know, ways, you know, date ideas, ways to spoil him. And you've looked up articles, you know, you sometimes you need a resource, and that's okay. You need it for work. Sometimes you need to take a course and make yourself better. You know, work out to make your body healthier and better. Like, you have to put some work into it. So don't be afraid or think that your relationship is failing because you need to seek some outside inspiration. You're listening to our podcast, for Christ's sake. Like, that's outward support and inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think, like you said, there was a lot to unpack.
Yeah.
But I think...
We've done it.
We've fixed everything. No, talk about it first. Think about your expectations. And is one of you being unrealistic? And if so, who? Whom? And then try and compromise. And then see what other ways you can make that communication better. Because if you can genuinely physically only talk once a week because of differing schedules or differing time zones, you're going to want to make that one conversation a week as good as you can.
Yeah, and then also, though, I mean, we've spent all this time focusing on the person who wants more communication. But if you want more and the other person wants less, it's also, you know, you need to consider what it means to them if they were to do it more. I mean, would it make them more uncomfortable? Would they feel under more pressure? Would they feel stressed? You know, is there a reason... a personal reason why they don't want to talk more, because
yeah.
it may not necessarily be fair to force them to talk more, you know, depending, you know, maybe they've got you know, some people just may have certain conditions or stresses or trauma or whatever where they're just actually, I need a certain amount of time by myself, in myself.
Or just that they're a bit introverted and yeah. They need that time.
Well, I think if you're a bit introverted, then I think it's valid and it's genuine, but I still think it's something that actually you can work to overcome to an extent. So, don't make easy excuses, but yeah, it's definitely a consideration. And just because they can put time and effort in doesn't mean it's not going to be a slow process. And it may mean that you go from 1 hour a week to an hour and a half a week, and not from 1 to 10, you know. But yeah, both of them would need to think about how it's going to affect the other person to come and compromise and meet in the middle. And maybe you don't meet in the middle to begin with, but then taking slow steps and gradually getting to the middle is the goal.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I mean, I think also, you know, we've talked about the person who doesn't really want to talk enough. If you are with someone who has unrealistic expectations for how much you communicate, that's a problem too. And you kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, but... You know, I think you always need to try and be respectful of someone's feelings and needs, but they then need to respect you. If they, you know, we'll never want to talk to people all the time because we love them and we can't get enough of them. And maybe sometimes there's some jealousy and insecurity issues sprinkled in there too. But for the most part, we have good intentions with it and we just miss each other, you know, as long distancers. So try and be mindful that if your partner is trying, but we need to talk more. It's just because they love you and they miss you. But you do have every right to say, look, I can't do this, or, you know, this is what I can do, or, hey, you're right, maybe. But, you know, if they want it to be, if they're wanting to do 20-hour phone calls and watch you sleep and, you know, kind of be working on stuff together all the time, like, that's great sometimes, but maybe for you it's not right all the time. Maybe you have roommates and flatmates and you're not comfortable doing it and you don't want people seeing that and you value your privacy.
Well, and also, I do think... I don't think that's necessarily healthy behaviour. I think maybe once in a while that's fine. But I don't think that you should probably be watching each other sleep every day. Everyone does need privacy. And I mean, you know, of course, as long as things are mutual and you're both happy on the same page, sometimes, you know, things can happen every day for a short period of time. You know, maybe, yeah, we did that for a couple of months and, you know, so I don't want to talk anyone out of that. But... generally, I mean, I don't think that's behaviour to aspire to.
Well, no, I remember there was a couple on Instagram, it was ages ago, I have no idea who they were, and they're long distance, and I think they were both students, and I think one weekend they were just, or one night, they were just really missing each other, so they just had their laptops on FaceTime while they each did their coursework. They didn't really say too much, or, no, I think one of them was working on coursework, and one of them was watching a movie, and they just, it was, like they were together doing their, like you and I would do,
working on. And that's for a purpose. And I think, again, that's different to just, I don't know, a routine of every day we have a 20-hour phone call and we watch each other sleep. And if it works for both of you and you're happy with it, fine. But I mean, I wouldn't.
I think for a lot of people, it's just a way to feel like they're living a normal life. Like,
you would fall asleep together.
You would be in the same room while you're doing different tasks. And that's the normalcy that so many people crave. I just want to come home and have dinner with you and then sit down and watch TV. Like, it's.
And I think if it's a background thing, it probably is a bit different.
Yeah.
Then you're just creating, like, the illusions of presence.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of people crave in long distance because. Yeah,
of course, you're missing it.
Yeah, and we did too. And we never really did stuff like that. Our time difference was.
We didn't really have the means. We couldn't carry a fucking computer with us to do that.
Well, we had Skype on our phones at that time.
It was terrible.
Yeah, it was bad. And Wi-Fi and 3G were crappy things at the time. So, yeah, I think you just really need to try and express your own needs, respect your partner's needs, and try and work something together that will make you both happy. If you can't, if someone is downright refusing to meet those needs, whether it's less or more communication, then that's another topic, and you need to find out what the issue is there, why they're not willing to. And like Rich said, some people aren't cut out for long distance. That might mean they don't want to talk enough. They want to talk too much. You just kind of need to address that because that could be a bigger issue. It could be a commitment issue. It could be a prioritization issue. It could be a valuing you issue. But I think first you need to try and get it to where you're both happy with the level. And if they just won't budge, they won't communicate with you about it. They won't compromise. Then is that really the kind of person that you want to move across the world for or open your whole world for them to come to you and rearrange your life for? Because no matter who you are, you know, we talk a lot about how much the person who moves does and how much changes for them. Things change for the person who stays put too.
Mm-hmm.
So you just need to take that consideration. And if someone's not meeting your needs,
I think we spoke about that quite a lot in a recent episode, didn't we?
Talked about the Christmas, I think it was maybe the holidays one. We talked a little bit about, like, the family aspect of it quite a lot.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, I mean, obviously I'm one always to kind of highlight how much someone who moves kind of compromises in general because that's what I've done. But I also do realize that, you know, Rich has to take my feelings in consideration in everything he does because, you know, he's my family here. So people just need to be mindful of that in any way. I'm getting down a different tangent, but...
Should we wrap it up?
I think so, because otherwise I'll keep waffling.
So we've got no planned hiatus coming up. We should be publishing over Christmas. But this is a really interesting topic, so we'd be really interested to hear your thoughts and experience on this, if we've said anything wrong or anything that resonates, if there's anything we missed, because like we said, there's a lot to unpack in this, so I can see it being a part two down the line if there's elements that we haven't touched on or we didn't give enough consideration to. So yeah, we'd really welcome any feedback to this one. So it's been a long time since we mentioned it. Twitter and Instagram, you should be able to find us by searching From Long Distance to Marriage, but our handles are Mr. Mrs. Distance. Not Mr. and Mrs. Distance.
Why'd you say Mr. and Mrs. Distance?
What do you mean?
Why'd you say it like that? Like your jaw wouldn't work.
Oh, my jaw worked.
Mr. and Mrs. Distance.
I don't know. But yeah, that's how you can find us. Or longdistancetomarriage.com. You can email us through there. We read and reply to everything.
Mm-hmm. We do.
We do.
I feel like I didn't get to say a lot. We're going to have to do a part two at some point.
There's more you want to say?
I feel like it, but I just don't know.
Okay, we'll reflect on it.
Yeah.
Chuck us your requests for part two.
Yeah, and then the other requests. I mean, we've had a couple recently that have been...
we are working through requests.
Yeah, we've got another one. One of them was about kind of moving and that being apart from family and leaving. And to be honest with you guys, my family just left after being here for Thanksgiving last week, so I'm not really in a good... emotional place to talk about being away from family and making those sacrifices. So we will do that one, but I just need a little bit of distance between saying goodbye to family and broaching that topic, because I can't remember which one it was, but there is an episode where we talked about family and I cried and we had to stop recording for a little while. So I thought to give people the most quality, don't cry. Don't cry and don't be in the wrong emotional state. So we will be covering that one soon. And yeah, please send more. We always really like to hear what you guys need because it helps us think of how we can help you better. Anyways, there I did. I waffled. Bye.